This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday going into Independence Day weekend. I guess Independence Day is on Tuesday, but either way, we've got a great show for you tonight. Not only do we have Ask Dr. Jesse questions, we have good Supreme Court news. Elevated Supreme Court rhetoric. Somebody insulted America's religion. That tranny from Bud Light's back in the news. And an incredible technological advancement that could change the planet. And you will find out about all that coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's begin with the big news of the day. The big news of the day is the Supreme Court decision about the gay wedding cake, the gay wedding thing. There wasn't really a cake in this case, by the way. The case was about creating websites. Gay people in Colorado walked in, hey, make us a wedding website, you know, celebrating our love. No, I don't want to do that. I'm a Christian, violates my beliefs. Supreme Court ruled, no, you can't force a business to make a website for you. Now, that's just the basics of it. You already know all that. But here's something you need to understand. Something I need to understand. Something we always have to keep in mind. This is a good thing. It's wonderful. It also doesn't go near far enough. Remember, we take these tiny victories and half victories, and we take them as having gained ground instead of actually taking back ground. That's defense. Okay, we got a Supreme Court decision. We like it. That's good. That's defense. But what would offense be in this case? What would offense be in this country? Are you sure you want to know? Might get uncomfortable. It's about to get uncomfortable. Are you sure you want to know? Offense would be this. I can refuse service in my business to anyone I want, for any reason I want. That is actual freedom. And putting that idea, putting that mindset back into the people, back into the people's minds, that's actual offense. That's taking back ground from communists. But people don't want to have that conversation. Why? Well, that conversation can get a little uncomfortable. Now, generally, you probably agree with what I just said, right? Well, yes, you should be able to refuse service for anyone, to anyone, for any reason, whenever. Okay. I don't want to serve Jews. Now, I'm lying about that, but what if that was my business model? How's that make you feel? Should that be legal? That's straight up Nazi Germany stuff. Do you want that to be legal? I will not serve black people. Not welcome in my restaurant. How do you feel about that? Hopefully you don't like it, but do you think it should be legal? I do. I do. If I start Jesse Kelly's Burger Shop and I decide, who's somebody I actually wouldn't want to serve? Left-handed people. I decide that left-handed people will not be allowed to come in and eat a Jesse Kelly burger. In fact, if you come in and I catch you holding your burger with your left hand, you're out. Do you think that should be legal? I do. But this is where we fail. This is where we on the right have failed for so long. So long we have failed in this, in that we are willing to fight for freedom right up to the point where it makes us uncomfortable. Everyone can agree. Yes, religious freedom, that sounds good. Okay, good Supreme Court ruling. Yes, good job. Are you willing to actually take back ground, though? Because taking back ground in people's mind, in people's hearts, might get you yelled at.
You might get hate mail. Think about the things people will call you. If you were to actually sit down and let's say, what's the biggest social media site? Facebook? I'm not on Facebook. It's probably the biggest one, right? Isn't it the biggest one? No, I think Facebook's way bigger than Twitter, Chris. I think so. Michael, it's not Instagram. That's for children and hot chicks. What, Michael? Okay, whatever. TikTok. We'll do TikTok. If you were to put up a TikTok thing, the little TikTok video, it's a video site, I guess. I'm not on there. If you were to put up a TikTok video and you were to say, you were to outline exactly actually what I just said. I believe a business should be able to refuse service to anybody. In fact, I believe people with blue eyes should not be allowed in my restaurant. And here's why I think that. And you were to elaborate that, hey, that's what real freedom is. And the free market will decide whether that business succeeds or that business fails. And you were to outline everything. Are you prepared for the hate that that will bring you? Because in a society so based on lies, in a society that has been so twisted up by lies and untruths, I don't even know if untruth is a word, and untruths, if you actually stand up and speak hard truths about things, that is something that is going to get you heat and it's going to get you hate. But we will never take back the culture unless we are willing to do that. Unless we are willing to experience hate from the most intolerant people on the planet, we will never be able to play offense. We cannot just play defense. And we cannot just defend things when they're comfortable. We have to defend things that make you uncomfortable. Here's another thing, because we're talking about free markets and discrimination. What if I did something that sounds ugly and horrible when it comes to discrimination, and the free market didn't vote against me? What if, what did I open with? It was wasn't left-handed. It was Jews. What if I did the no Jews? No Jews allowed in Jesse Kelly Burger Place. What if I didn't go out of business? What if business was booming? Because this is what we do. This gets uncomfortable, right? We think, okay, well, I would hope anyone who did that, they go out of business because it would be unpopular. That's what I think. That's what you think, right? Well, I hope that guy gets shut down. What if he doesn't? What if he thrives? Are you willing to have that conversation? You see what I mean? The conversations we have, the societal movement, cultural movement we have, it is not going to come easy and it's not going to come comfortably. We are, if you're looking at us right now as a country, this is how I would describe it. Have you ever been too heavy in your life? Maybe you're too heavy right now, just fat, just got yourself fat and out of shape. Maybe you're really fat right now. And there's no judgment here. There's nobody in the world I admire more than that fat person out going for a walk or jogging when I'm on the way home. Suffering, but putting in the work. But that's what we are as a country. We're extremely fat, and if we don't get it fixed, it's going to kill us. Is there a comfortable way to dump that fat? There's not. It's going to involve sweat and sore knees and sore muscles. And a stomach that's rumbling because you have to deny yourself things you haven't denied yourself before. It's going to suck. Losing that weight is going to suck. I'm not here to sugarcoat it for you. It's going to involve pain and suffering. And in the end, it will be worth it. But it's going to suck. Taking back this country from the communists, from this cultural Marxist filth that has seized our nation, not just our institutions, it seized our hearts and our minds. Taking it back from them, I promise you, will not be comfortable. It will not involve comfortable conversations where you look like the good guy and feel like the good guy and everyone agrees with you and pats you on the back. Good work, Bob. I agree. Great call. It's going to be uncomfortable moving freedom back into the hearts of man. I just thought that that was important to have that conversation today. It's a good day. It's a good win. It's good. But it's not offense. It's not taking back ground we've lost. It's stopping the bleeding, but it's not taking back ground. You're not gaining any more weight, but you haven't lost a pound today. Not a pound. You stopped the weight gain, but you haven't lost a pound. You know why you haven't lost a pound? Because you're not sweating. It's not hard. All right. Well, we'll hear a little clip I think you'd really, really love to hear from the tolerant left. And then we're going to deal with this student loan forgiveness stuff. And yes, I'm going to dive into the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. And we have all kinds of stuff still to come tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Don't worry, we're just now getting revved up here, going into an Independence Day weekend. All right. All right. Now, GLAAD. You've heard of this group GLAAD, right? Oh, you're going to love this doozy. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
I was just thinking, anyway, I started off without you. And I sold a lot of state secrets and a lot of very important things that we shared.
I love how he did the anyway thing in the beginning. It's my favorite. I can't believe I'm just now picking up on this. It murders me how he just always loses his train of thought and tosses in an anyway. That doesn't, what is it, Michael? You don't have to low crawl in here. What are you handing me? Is it an important document? Oh, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse question. Oh, it's a cool one too. All right, I'll get to that in a second. I have to play this little soundbite that I teased from the GLAAD president. Don't forget what you're up against. Don't forget who you're up against.
Justice Gorsuch, he writes, tolerance, not coercion, is our nation's answer. The First Amendment envisions the United States as a rich and complex place where all persons are free to think and speak as they wish, not as the government demands.
I think tolerance is what you do for a toothache, not for human beings. And as this, we continue to be politicized in this country as people, and we're just human beings that want to live our lives in a free and equal manner. And so I think when you start to dissect us in
tolerance is what you do for a toothache, not for people. Listen when they talk. The way they talk about you, the things they say, don't dismiss it. This is a mistake we've made on the right for so long. We roll our eyes or we dismiss it or we say things like, just don't be dramatic. They're not being dramatic. This is how they feel and this is how they communicate their wishes to the despicable masses.
Swatting happening and Nazis walking around. It is a scary time.
He's been playing the racist card. He said, I'm a nationalist. David Duke comes out the next day saying, thank you. Thank you so much.
We now know that we have in the White House someone who could lead the Ku Klux Klan in the United States of America, somebody who could be the leader of the neo-Nazi and publish just his words.
This is still a white supremacist house. You still have actual Nazis in the house.
This distraction and sleight of hand is basically what modern Republican politics is all about.
Yeah, I could go on. It's 2 minutes. I could keep going. Don't forget. All right, now before we get to the student loan thing, I'm sure my thoughts on that will be wildly popular. I'm going to remind you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And I want to get to this question. Michael had to sneak in here instead of just opening the door and handing me a piece of paper. Dr. Jesse, which would you choose to operate, a giant Roman crossbow or one of those big catapult machines? Well, it depends on the catapult machine. One, there's a difference between a catapult and a trebuchet. Trebuchet, I may be saying trebuchet wrong. If you look at them, you'll see a difference. A catapult is kind of like picture you have a spoon. You have a spoon in your hand, and you put a Cheerio in it, and you pull the spoon kind of back, and pew! That's the sound it would make. Pew! You would flick the Cheerio, right? That's a catapult. That's a catapult. A trebuchet is different. It involves this huge counterweight thing. It can throw a lot more weight, and it can throw it a lot further. Now to the Roman crossbow. He's talking about some of the equipment they use, the artillery equipment the Romans used. And actually, it's funny you emailed this because I've thought about this a lot. I should clarify something for those who don't know. I just glossed over this. I'm sorry. I hate when I do that. The Romans, part of the reason the Romans were so incredible on the battlefield was not just the troops in the troop formations. The Romans were unreal at a couple different things. One, fortifications. they would get to a place. You know, if your army's marching and you're out in Gaul or something like that, and they would get to a place and they would just begin digging and building. And pretty much night number one, there would be something resembling kind of a fort there. Walls, not really walls that are great, but something you could defend. But then it would go on, and every day they would improve it. If you left a Roman army in a place for a week, it's basically a fortress there. They don't need much time. It's what they do. They just build a fortress. But on top of that, they have artillery with them, and it was just, think how devastating this is. It's called a ballista, by the way, a ballista, that giant Roman crossbow, but we'll call it a crossbow for ease of remembrance, all right? A crossbow. But it's huge, a gigantic, not a handheld, but it's a piece of artillery. Think about this. You're a tribe, so you don't have any heavy armor or anything like that. And you're running, you're angry, you're doing the tribe war cry thing. You're running, you're angry at the Romans. And they start launching these gigantic arrows. And they had smaller things that shot just basic rocks and stuff like that. And boom, an arrow comes zooming through your formation that kills four people, impales four people in front of you. You've never seen anything like this. And you didn't know something like this existed. The Romans would do that very, very, very well. But here's the thing. I've actually thought about this before. That's why I liked the question. Then we'll get back to the student loan stuff. I would want to shoot the catapult or the trebuchet more. And here's why. Think about the ancient technology. Even as advanced as the Romans were, ancient technology you would have to use to get the tension necessary to shoot a crossbow like that. Think about that. You ever been around, I hope you haven't, you ever been around a chain that was under tension and broke? Chain will shatter bones, rip your face off if it shatters. It's very, very dangerous. Now think about the tension involved in an ancient crossbow from 100 BC. Think about that. What if something snaps and I'm there? Wow, you know it happened. Of course, they're not going to document those things. Blech, those are ugly injuries. Ugly. All right. Enough about the Romans. Quit. Don't get me distracted. I'm ready.
I've indicated labor leaders they must.
Now, apparently my soundboard's also messed up. We're going to get to student loans next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you you can download the iHeartRadio app free. Also reminding you, the whole show's podcasted on iArt, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Whenever they're done, whenever we're done on the air, you can go download the show if Chris and Michael actually get it uploaded, which, again, is about 50-50. I work with what I can around here, all right? It's like, I want you to imagine that I'm running a construction crew. We build houses, but there weren't any good workers available, so I had to stop by the local orphanage and just snatch up a couple kids, and that's who I've got putting in drywall and things like that. That's pretty much what I'm dealing with around here. By the way, the soundboard, there are some critical items missing. You know, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do the soundboard. When I say critical items, my focus on staying focused button is now just completely empty. I don't hear anything. Chris, now even what was on there is gone. Chris and Michael messed it up or something. Something's wrong. All right, let's talk about student loan forgiveness. You know what? Pause on that for a moment. Oh, believe me, this is about that. I'm coming back to it. I was on a plane recently. It was, where the heck was I going? What was this flight to? Oh, it was on the book tour. I was flying from Pennsylvania. I was flying from Pennsylvania to Florida. That's what I was doing. I was flying out of Philly, flying to Tampa. And I sat next to a guy, and he was one of these guys that wanted to talk on the plane. And sometimes that's annoying. This guy was cool, though, so I enjoyed it. We just kind of sat and gabbed. He definitely seemed like our people, and I didn't have anything else going on, so we were just gabbing on the plane. And young guy, when I say young, 50s, and it turned out he actually was in his 50s. And he was flying down to his second home in Tampa because that's where his daughter was going to school. That's where his daughter was going to university. And he normally lived in Jersey, half the time in Jersey, half the time in Tampa. And we were talking about various things in life and his second home. And eventually it came up that he's bored. He's bored. I said, okay, what's going on? You see, he didn't go to college. He didn't go to a university. He instead started working when he was, I think he told me he was 16, 17. He started working for one of the local pool companies. It was good money, good exercise, get some sunshine, get some muscles for the ladies, get a little extra change in your pocket. And he just kind of stuck with that. Within a few years, because he showed up on time, he didn't leave work early, he didn't gossip, and when he was told, when he was given a task by his boss, he did not return until a task was completed. Eventually, he was the foreman of the crew. Soon, I think he told me he was 28, I believe it was, he started his own pool business, just a small one, just had a couple clients, couple recommendations, started his own little pool company. At 52, he sold that pool business for $17 million, flying down to his second lovely home in Tampa. His biggest problem in life now is that he's bored. He was 57 at the time. 57? 57, I think he was. No, maybe 55. Crap. He was 55 or 57. I forget which one it was. He was so bored that he was going to start another pool company. And he said, I'm going to try to keep it small, but all my old customers are probably going to come back, so it'll probably end up getting big again. He's very likely going to sell his second multi-million dollar business before he's 70 years old without a college degree. I just want to remind you that, yes, there are many reasons, many careers, if you want to go into them, you do have to go to college. So I'm not telling you can't go, never go to college. I am telling you this. It is old, antiquated, out of date, expired. Pick your word to describe it. It is a long gone, long useless way of thinking that you got to go to college to get a good job. You got to go to college. It's not 1970 anymore. That's ridiculous. There are incredible fields where you can make gobs of money, more money than your college friends. Again, I'm going to reinforce this as I do so often on the show. When we talk about trades, whatever the trades may be, whether you're installing ACs or installing in-ground pools, it's not only that you can make a pile of money there, it's that the age of the people, the average age of the people who do those jobs, they're old. Really, really, really old. What does that mean? That means that in a field like plumbing, let's just do plumbing. That's an easy one. In a field like plumbing, if the average age of retirement is getting up there, or the average age of the plumbers are getting up there, that means these guys are going to retire. They all do. They all retire to their second home and their bass boats and their beach life. As these guys get up there and retire, there are going to be fewer and fewer plumbers because the age is getting up there so much. It's not just that you can go into the trades now and make a pile of money. It's that the option for money making gets better from here. As everyone retires and there are fewer plumbers, guess who gets to charge more? So in your phone right now, when you say, oh no, the toilet's clogged, I went boopy. And you say, oh no, there are 10 plumbers in my town. Well, 10 years from now, that's 5 plumbers in your town. More money for you. Old, antiquated ways of thinking. And ladies, don't think that I'm just talking to the men. There are non-physical tech jobs that don't involve colleges too. Why do I bring this up? Because, of course, Joe Biden's completely unlawful student loan forgiveness thing got blasted down today by the Supreme Court. No, you can't have $400 billion from the taxpayer to pay off someone else's student loans. It got shot down today. So today, talking about student loans and student loan forgiveness is all the rage. And I hear people coming at it from all different directions, and I understand all those directions. A lot of people, understandably, are saying, pay off your own freaking loans. It's not my job. And that's a very valid point of view. Another point of view I hear is these are predatory loans on 18-year-old people. Other loans are dischargeable by bankruptcy. Why are these ones not dischargeable by bankruptcy? And you know what? That is also a very good point. Why aren't these loans dischargeable by bankruptcy? If you're asking the Jesse Kelly policy, the Jesse Kelly plan, well, again, my plan is a bit more aggressive than other plans out there, probably a bit more aggressive than anything you will read in very many places. I want the universities themselves to be on the hook for the student loan, because I want the universities themselves to go bankrupt and have to close their doors and raise the buildings to the ground. I believe the university system in America is a clear and present danger to the United States of America. So I want the universities to get saddled with so much debt that they have to shutter the doors. That's it. That's the Jesse Kelly stance, in case you're wondering. My stance is not really about the legal portion of it. My stance is more on you, your personal portion of it. Do not go take out $100,000 in loans unless you have a crystal clear plan to get that loan paid off. Are you positive you're going into a field where you will be able to make the kind of money you need to make to pay off that loan? And I don't mean in 20 years, because you are going to want to find yourself a dime or a husband and settle down with a home and a family. And it's really hard to buy a house, period, in this economy, let alone trying to buy a house with a six-figure loan for student debt. Do not take out massive loans without a plan to pay them back, and drop this old, lame way of thinking about, you gotta go to college. That's garbage. That's not true. Maybe you have a career. I desperately want to be a lawyer. Okay, good. Then obviously you got to go to college. I'm not naive. I understand how the world works. But this, well, just go find yourself for $25,000 a year. Puff, ridiculous. Go find yourself for free working at Chick-fil-A. All right. We have to get to ask Dr. Jesse questions because I've been falling behind. Let's talk about your dog. Let's talk about keeping our dogs happy and healthy. Speaking of investments, you know, we talk about rough greens and how it'll keep your dog healthier and it'll fix your dog's issues and how your dog will live longer, but I don't think we've actually discussed the money savings. I mean, oh yeah, after you're done with your free Jumpstart trial bag, you have to pay for rough greens. There's no question about it. Go ahead and do a little cost comparison. Your rough greens cost versus your vet bills, which go down when you start giving your dog actual nutrition. How about saving money by pouring rough greens on your dog's food? Vitamins, minerals, probiotics. Watch your dog come alive in ways you never thought were possible. Watch your dog stay alive. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Roughgreens.com/Jesse or call 833-33-MY-DOG.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, I'm too excited. Before I get to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, I have to break you something. There's a technology out there that I think is going to change the entire planet. I do. It's something not enough people are talking about, but I'm so excited about it, I can't hold back anymore. I was gonna try to wait till next hour. This is really exciting. You ready for this? You ready? Hold on. Giant kites could pull cargo ships across the ocean and slash their emissions. Did you hear what I just said? We are going to, with this super advanced technology, we're going to put a giant canvas of some kind on a ship, and the wind will catch that canvas and actually move the ship across the water. Is that not the most mind-blowing thing you've ever heard? I could even picture maybe in the future, maybe there'll be multiple pieces of canvas on the ship, almost like a, and then we would have poles that held them up. We could even call those poles a mast. We'll call the poles a mast. But I think this is really, really exciting stuff. And I just want to thank the quote, climate change activists. Without you, This new and advanced technology would never have been made available to us. I think this is awesome, and I'm excited about it. That's what I have to say. Here's Joe.
The idea there's no right of privacy in the Constitution, giving states power that we fought a war over in 1860.
Okay, we're going to have to go through this whole thing again here because there's a lot to unpack in a very short amount of time. I don't know what he's talking about. Let's start again.
The idea there's no right of privacy in the Constitution, giving...
The idea there's no right of privacy in the Constitution. There is a right of privacy in the Constitution. I don't understand. All right, we'll start again. That was one part. The idea there's no right of privacy. Whose idea was that?
The idea there's no right of privacy in the Constitution, giving states power that we fought a war over in 1860.
Giving states power that we fought a war over? I don't understand. You know, let's get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Dear most handsome man in the world. I love this one. As you know, in wars, the first step is taking out the leader so the armies have no one to lead them, even though it was the opposite in the Pacific Theater in World War II. I was wondering if the Chinese invaded, would they aim for Sloppy Joe, and would the people of the U.S. rise to fight them, or would the Chinese just let him help them by destroying the entire nation? Love the music, Chris. Don't give Chris any credit. He said his name is Ryder. Well... here's the truth about the Chinese invasion. Obviously, it's not going to come, but I'm not going to ruin your hypothetical. I'm not going to ruin your hypothetical at all. Let's deal with your hypothetical, and then we'll deal with the real life. Let's say the Chinese did. They're landing 20 divisions on the shores of California, and they want to take over America. Well, they've got some problems. Actually, they've got huge problems. One of the biggest problems is the Navy. Obviously, our Navy is not quite what it was as the woke filth has rotted it out. So China is going to have to sweep the USS Harvey Milk off the sea before they get to us. But they still have to deal with the Navy. So you have to get to the shore, one. Then once you get to the shore, they're going to have problems. The problems, yes, they will arise because of military units that will be mobilized. There's no question about that. But the problems you would face fighting America are twofold, and these are really, really incredible problems. One, obvious, it's the obvious one, the guns. The civilians just have so many guns in this country and so much ammunition, it would make it so incredibly difficult for an army. And you can look at this historically, the history of armed conflict. When powerful armies are trying to take over and occupy an area, when the civilians have arms, it's just, it makes life hell. And what you really have to do, not that the Chinese wouldn't be willing to do it, but it brings on a whole other world of problems. What you would have to do is you'd really have to conduct a war of extermination, meaning nobody lives. Every man, woman, and child in every house you come to has to be killed. But then that policy goes back on you too, because as soon as the people figure out that's what you're doing, then you've put them in a situation where they have nothing to lose, and now everyone's shooting at you because they know you're going to kill every single person you run across. That's a problem. Remember, the most successful conquest in the history of mankind was the Mongols. And the Mongols were famed, obviously, for killing everyone. But even the Mongols understood very clearly that that can't be the only policy you have or everyone would fight you. So the Mongols had a really complete merciful policy or I'll kill everyone policy. If you fight us as a city, I will murder everyone, even your pets. If you just open the doors and let us in, we'll let all of you live. Just pay a little tribute. Understand that you will work underneath the Khan. And you're fine. Even the Mongols understood you can't go for a war of total extermination at all times. The gun situation in America makes that invasion virtually impossible. It's not about our leadership, which is all but useless. I mean, gosh, our generals are as useless as Biden is, but it's about the guns. And the second part of it is this. America is so vast. It's so big. One of the things that really, really strikes you when you look at the history of warfare, or when you read the history of warfare, from Hitler and Napoleon invading Russia to various things, it's how much simple distance just kills people. You just can't. You don't have the supply lines, or if you do have the supply lines, they're long and thin, and they're easy to attack. It would just be really hard. America is so big. What are you going to do with the Rocky Mountains? What are you going to do with a bunch of people in the Rockies armed? It's just, America's very big, very, very big. Now, let's move on, because we found the next thing climate change is destroying and our lack of expertise. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.